I'm Jordan.
And I'm Rosanna.
And on this podcast, we explore how to take life off autopilot
and relentlessly pursue a life worth living
together.
Welcome to episode 12, Face-to-Face and Side-by-Side. Can you believe that we are already on episode 12?
Episode 12 already, baby.
That is the last episode of season one.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you to all of you guys who have been listening along the way. Who have been sharing our posts on social media, who have been tagging friends to listen, have been recommending this to people. We really appreciate all of your support, and we look forward to what's coming ahead in season two.
That's right. So this is only the last episode in season one. Season two is already in the works, and we're excited about a lot of the things that the Relentless Pursuit will bring to you. So here's the plan, just so you know where we're headed, is at the end of season one, we're here in September, we are going to take a four-week break and come back with season two after those 4 weeks. So we're going to go dark just for a few weeks. Hang in there, and then you'll see everything come live for season two.
But not completely dark. We'll still be uploading posts to our blog and to our website. You can get information there, and to our social media. You can kind of see what we're working on as we start to develop season two.
Exactly.
All right. Last week, if you listened to episode 11, mm-hmm. we were talking about looking at faces and not devices, and we ended with a screen challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to know how we did on our week-long screen challenge of social distancing ourselves from our phones and our devices and being more present in the moment, head on over to the Relentless Pursuit podcast and click on our blog. And on there, you will find both Jordan's account and my account of how we think it went, lessons learned, and maybe some fumbles along the way.
Yeah, it hasn't been an easy challenge, but I'm grateful for it because it's already made me more mindful of relationship to our screens versus our relationships to the people around us. So plenty of good reflections, and hopefully you guys will get a chance to read our accounts, but also comment and share your own experiences as well.
All right. So are you ready for episode 12?
Episode 12. Here we go.
All right. Let's dive in. Again, title Face to Face and Side by Side.
Mm-hmm. And so I really like this phrase, face to face and side by side, because I think the reason why we wanted to share this on the podcast with you guys is because this denotes two approaches to your relationship with others. And I think most of our examples will entail your relationship to your spouse or significant other, but it really pertains to your friends, it pertains to other family members, it pertains to colleagues, it even pertains to you and your children. So we want you to keep all of those things in mind as we talk. So what does face by face or face to face and side by side mean? It really means what it says. Like, you can develop your relationship in both of those manners. And it's important to understand what both have to offer and maybe even a few of the pitfalls about them too. So face-to-face represents you facing the other person, and in most cases in a literal sense, where your focus is that other person. So like right now, you and I are having a conversation, my focus is on you. And so I typically think of conversations where you're talking to and you're talking about one another as that face-to-face a kind of approach to a relationship. A lot of times we do this like over a coffee or at a table with someone. You could also be on a walk with someone. I guess you don't have to be literally face to face, but your focus at that time or during that engagement is on the other person. Side by side is you're still with the other person, but picture yourself shoulder to shoulder with that person. And instead of making the other person your direct focus, the both of you are engaged in some kind of task or an activity that you're sort of sharing this mutual experience together. And so what we want to talk about is really exploring what it really means to have both of those components in your relationship, why it's important to have both, and maybe some of the stronger ways, but also addressing maybe some of the weaker ways that those could be present in our various relationships.
I think younger Rosanna, you know, idealistic, thought that love was always face-to-face. Mm-hmm. That it was always gazing at you, looking at you, spending time.
That's like the ideal sense.
Right.
If you could just look at the other person and gaze into their eyes for eternity, then that's love.
Hold hands and, like, the hearts are, like, you know, in the background around him, and it's just this
romantic. Like, I could lay in your arms forever.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, when we were teenagers, right, that was kind of like that ideal, like, what we wanted to do just hand in hand. And, you know, this idea of side by side is something that, you know, as we've grown older and wiser and more savvy, we realize how important side by side is. Mm-hmm. Because life does not allow us just to stop and gaze and everything else stops. Mm-hmm. The world is constantly moving. We're constantly moving. And so to be side by side and moving forward together is a big part of a successful relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of what we were doing with some of our date nights a little while back when we were trying to get out. And we realized that the majority of our dates, and they're all very pleasant, but we would basically like go and sit down at a restaurant or at a bar or at a coffee shop. And then we'd have a couple hours allocated to just talking. And most of the time the conversation was really good and we had a chance to just luxuriate in the presence of one another and concentrate on one another. And at times there's an ebb and a flow to it. But then we started adding in activities as well, where we would go and do something new or have some sort of an engagement that we would entertain ourselves with or go to work on something. And we had that shared experience that I think fueled the face-to-face, and I think the face-to-face fuels some of the side-by-side activities.
And even with those dates, the face-to-face and side-by-side, you know, even the most head-over-heels couple, people who love each other and love spending time together, I mean, let's pretend we're all going to be married 65 years. Mm-hmm. At some point, conversation is going to run dry.
You're going to run out of things to say.
So being able to do things in the presence of one another, and whether that's like leisure, or hobbies or interests or building something together, there's more of that like easy, effortless friendship where you don't have to come to the table with these like vulnerable things that you're going to share with one another, or this doting where it's part of being with someone is the friendship that you build with them and being able to enjoy those things and have fun and be flirty and find commonality and find new interests together that continues to build and develop that relationship.
Yeah. And I think about my relationship with other men as well. I think that there's a lot of face-to-face, but I think some of the strongest bonds are often built in side-by-side kind of activities too, just things that we get to do together. Like I would even comment on relationship to your dad. I think we've always been friendly with one another since I met him when I was like 15. But I felt like there was kind of a turning point where we were just painting together. We were painting a bunch of rooms together. And we weren't really talking much at all. Like, there's nothing much to talk about except, like, pass me that roller. But throughout the course of that project, I felt by the end of it, we had done something together and accomplished something together. And it didn't really require a lot of words. There's a different kind of bond that's formed when you're working on something.
Sure, there's that, like, level of trust, that level of understanding, even understanding how someone works or operates. Like, I'm sure the way that you approached a painting a room and never having done it before, and my dad maybe even like teaching you, like that aspect of the relationship,
just some of those little
like imparting
moments,
that wisdom where he feels like needed, and then same thing, like you being able to listen to him, because my dad is not like this like deep and vulnerable person, but sharing experiences with him, whether it's painting a room or going with us to the zoo with the kids or to Santa's Village, like just that proximity and that presence is big for him. Mm-hmm. And so that helps build your relationship together.
Exactly.
And then even just the funny things that come out of those experiences.
And then we have stories to tell afterwards.
Right.
Too.
Those stories kind of help move you forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's interesting. And I think it's interesting too with our kids. A lot of times life with our kids is side by side where we're literally with them holding their hand, right? Like taking them places, going places.
We're always trying to do activities with them or take them to whatever they're signed up for, whichever activity or sport they're in.
Right. Facilitating that. But now that the kids are older, finding experiences where we are face to face with them on a one-on-one basis has proven to be very important at this stage in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So with a 10, almost 8 and almost 6 year old, they're looking for that time and attention of one-on-one, like telling us how they're feeling or what they're thinking about or even expressing their needs to us so mm-hmm. that we know what those needs are and can help meet them, mm-hmm. which, you know, they've been little for so long. And so to know that not only do you and I need face-to-face and side-by-side, but now with our children, we need to move forward in that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's explore some of our questions for one another, because I'm thinking through some of these different avenues and already want to like pick your brain about how to maybe be more conscientious and maximize these aspects of relationship building.
Okay.
Do you want to go first?
No, I'll go first. Okay. Go ahead. Put me on the spot.
All right. What happens when you have too much of one and not enough of the other?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. I probably shouldn't have said I don't know. I'm just trying
I think that's the purpose of the conversation, is to start from a point of not really knowing, but at least challenging ourselves to come to a better understanding.
You know, I'm trying to think of like too many date nights. Mm-hmm. Right, where we're just...
Is there such a thing?
Right, where we're just face-to-face. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to picture a world where that's the case, where it's just that. And I really do think we would be in the scenario where we would run out of things to say. Mm-hmm. At this point, those things are coveted, those face-to-face date nights, because the days are busy, and so we don't get to talk about all of the things that we're thinking about or feeling. The podcast has been great, because we're talking about mm-hmm. these great, deep topics that are kind of pushing us to grow. But if we didn't have that, you know, we would probably be missing out and feel like we need some more of that face-to-face time. Mm-hmm. But what's nice is when we're able to be consistently talking to one another, and consistently meaning like maybe once a week, where we like really sit down and focus on each other. Sometimes when a date night opportunity comes up, it's not about sitting down and staring at each other. It's about having fun. Mm-hmm. I think it's allowed us to want to do fun things together. So for Valentine's Day this past year, we could have gone to a romantic dinner or, you know, done something that's like the typical Valentine's Day. And we didn't do that. Mm-hmm. What was your idea for Valentine's Day this year?
Well, I said I want to go do something together. So I thought we've both been doing like exercise and especially yoga for a little while. So I found a yoga place that happened to be open at a time that we could make it there. And we went and we did yoga together. And we had really no idea what we were signing up for. It ended up being a lot of fun because it was Korean yoga, or kind of a Korean like variation on yoga, and a very small, like intimate setting where, you know, throughout that we were able to share an experience. Now we have a story to tell about some of the unique and just kind of funny things that happened along the way. And I would not have regretted going and enjoying a nice meal with you. But this was just, you know, something different enough that I think helps keep the relationship fresh, helps keep it growing, and gives us even some things to talk about. It reinforces some of those face-to-face opportunities that we have down the road.
Yeah, and I think, you know, being with someone for a while, or even being in a friendship for a while, like it can become stagnant or predictable. And sometimes that's what you need, is kind of just like that little bit of invention to kind of, you know, get rid of the same old. Mm-hmm.
And I think about parenting as maybe the biggest side-by-side kind of thing that we're doing together, right? That's a big responsibility. It's a big task. It's a major portion of our time. And I think that can be, you know, sometimes the relationship becomes a little too lopsided on that end too, where you're working on something, whether it's parenting or if you have a mutual project or business or something, and it becomes all about like the side-by-side kind of management of the tasks that have to go on. And you stop, I think too much of that means you stop enjoying that experience, and you stop enjoying each other too, because you're not turning and pausing and, you know, enjoying the conversation, focusing on one another and tuning out the rest that's going on around you.
Okay, so that reminds me of this quote, and it's by the author of The Little Prince. And the quote is, and this is like a sign I bought.
On our wall.
It's in our bedroom. And it says, "Life has taught us that love does not consist in gazing at each other, but in looking outward together in the same direction." And when I saw that at the store, it really like, it struck me right away, because it reminded me of our relationship, that it's not just about that lovey-dovey stuff. And there's plenty of that in our relationship.
Yeah.
But that it is the two of us side by side holding hands and looking out. But I think the most important part of this is it's not just us holding hands and looking out, and you're looking to the west and I'm looking to the east, and you've got your eyes on what you want and I've got my eyes on what I want, and then we're holding hands but we're both letting go and traveling in mm-hmm. opposite directions. To me, what this really represents is that we're holding hands, we're looking out in the same direction, and we're focused and we're moving equally together, mm-hmm. driving forward, meaning our values and our goals and our dreams are in check, mm-hmm. and that your dreams are important to me and I'm coming along with you, and my dreams are important to you and you're spurring me on, mm-hmm. and we're pulling each other along, and that it's not that we're going in opposite directions, is that we are in alignment, mm-hmm. and we're purposefully moving forward.
Yeah, and we have, you know, mutual vision for how we want to conduct ourselves and move forward together in that way.
And that mutual vision comes from that face-to-face. Mm-hmm. Because in face-to-face, not only is it romantic, face-to-face is also confrontational, mm-hmm. and it's also vulnerable. Oh, yeah. Okay, so like...
Preach it.
Well, let's think about it like in a work scenario, right? When you have a one-on-one with your boss, right? Mm-hmm. A couple of things are going to happen in that scenario. What are the couple things that are going to happen if you're one-on-one with your boss?
You're going to have a great conversation, probably a raise and a promotion.
Right. Okay. So that's, you hope.
Ideally. But right. It is, you know, it's often a position of maybe like evaluation or accountability or, you know, report. It's, you know, I would say it's job oriented. It's efficiency based.
Questions based even too, right? Like, mm-hmm. how can you grow? This is where I see you going. So like, it's not always, face-to-face is not always romantic. Sure, when our heads are on the pillows at night and we're mm-hmm. laughing about this or that or sharing, like it's sweet and it's tender, but right. face-to-face...
You're not really looking for that from your boss or from a lot of the other face-to-face interactions right. you have with
But
folks.
If you're looking at this across relationships, you know, a lot of gaining vision and being on the same page comes from that face-to-face, comes from confrontation and vulnerability and being serious and honest. So face-to-face isn't just always just happy-go-lucky love. It's mm-hmm. face-to-face is where some of the hard work happens so that when you're side-by-side, you can move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have another question to piggyback off of that?
How about this? How do you balance these in a relationship? Like, is there a perfect split? Is it 50-50? Is it 60-40? Is it, 20-80? And in what direction? Like, how do you determine what your relationship needs? Like, maybe that's the question that our audience is like, wow, you're right. All my date nights are face-to-face. Like, mm-hmm. maybe we need some side-to-side, side-by-side. Or maybe they're all side-by-side. Mm-hmm. And we're operating in this fun, carefree zone. But now we really need to sit down and, like,
yeah.
engage. Like, how do people know what the balance is?
Yeah. I don't know if there's a percentage to put on it. Like, I guess I would say 50-50, but I don't know if that's accurate or not. I would say that it's good just to ask the question. Like, do you, when you're sitting... or when you have the opportunity even to be face-to-face with one another, like, what is that like? Is there a chance to enhance that or make that better? Or does it feel like maybe there's a better way to utilize that time together and go and enjoy an activity together, or even where are the opportunities? I think, like, we're talking about date nights, but even within the context of your marriage, like, where are the opportunities to work on something together that you feel like you're mutually experiencing that? Like I said, parenting is probably the biggest thing for those parents out there that you'll be working together on. How can you then ask the reverse question? How can you make sure that there is like face-to-face time with your spouse to have that shared vision, that just opportunity to reinforce one another within those roles and maintain that romantic connection amidst the work that's going on? I think the only way to strike balance, and we talk about this in almost every episode, is like just asking questions and reflecting so that you can find what's missing and identify what's not working and make the appropriate adjustments.
Yeah, I mean, and even in last week's episode when we were talking about like, why are we picking up those devices? Why are we looking at screens? Like, what's off, right? That mindfulness of like, something's off between, like, we're fine and I love you and we're friends, but like, mm-hmm. I feel like something's missing. Mm-hmm. So what is that? Do we just need a fun, carefree afternoon where someone watches the kids and we go on a bike ride through the forest preserve? Like, what is it that you need? You mm-hmm. know, sometimes you just need that playful interaction. So I think you're right. It's that intentional, like, self-diagnosis of what haven't we had in a while?
What haven't we done in a while? Yeah. And I also feel like when you get older and look back on any given relationship, like what tends to stick, And like when we're telling stories or talking about fun times we had, we're never like, oh, this one time we went to this coffee shop and had a really deep conversation with each other. That doesn't really make that great of a story. But the experiences that we share have ways of, even ways that sometimes defy any sort of definition or words. But there's a kind of bond that's built in the midst of that. And you have these memories and stories along the way. But that's counterbalanced by making sure that you are like focusing and understanding one another. And I think when you feel like you could be doing either like a face-to-face or side-by-side kind of engagement with anybody, then that is an opportunity to maybe let those reinforce one another and strengthen one another as you go.
Well, and I think one thing that we can't forget either is that we can't let what other relationships and people are doing define what we think we need to do for ourselves. Because we know what our relationship needs.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get ideas from people like, oh, they did this cool experience.
They did this. Let's go do that too. That would fit us.
Right. But not, you know, that people who wine and dine often, like, maybe that does something for them that their relationship needs, but maybe that's not what your relationship needs. Mm-hmm. And so while the thought and the idea behind it is good, or the resources that they have are different than yours, like how do you recreate the same sentiment of face-to-face or the same sentiment of side-by-side, but that fits uniquely who you are and what your relationship stands for?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of this in terms of other contexts too, like I'm even thinking of colleagues at work. Because you're by definition co-workers, and so much of what you're supposed to be doing is side by side. But is there purpose and opportunity to pausing that at times and letting the face to face interactions reinforce the side by side work that you do? And I think that's one thing people sometimes complain about is like you get sidetracked with. Like water cooler conversations, there's sort of office chatter that gets in the way of your efficiency at work. But I think there's a reason why that exists, and we're so prone to do that is because I think we feel like we need to reinforce the relationships by focusing on and talking to one another about each other and about our experiences, so that when it is time to buckle down and do work, we have a stronger shared bond to be able to do that.
Well, right. Trust is built over those conversations, or even when you're, assigned a new project and, someone needs to emerge as like a leader or someone needs to, do something specific. Someone would be like, who'd be a great fit for that? Jordan would be a great fit for that. Like, did you know that he does this? And so he might be able to, help us launch a podcast. Like, so it's good when people know you past what your capabilities are in a work or corporate setting, when they get to know where your heart is or where your passions are, and then that kind of builds a different kind of relationship that also improves your work relationship.
Mm-hmm. All right, we briefly referenced this a couple minutes ago, but I want to draw some focus to it. So I want to throw in another orientation here. So back to back. So we got face to face, side by side. Back-to-back is my third one. I picture the back-to-back analogy as two people near one another, but focusing on their own thing.
I picture Jurassic Park.
Oh, with the raptors?
Yeah, the raptors are surrounding you, and you are, right, kind of each fighting off something while still being unified. Well, sorry, that's like you said that, like back-to-back, I'm like, ooh, raptors. Like, literally my first thought.
And I think that's often where the phrase is used in like this defensive posture where you're surrounded on all sides, where back to back in battle. I don't quite mean it like that so much as just to say like where even though you might be near someone, your orientation is towards other things. What role does that play in a relationship, and what opportunities and pitfalls do you see in that kind of orientation?
Okay, so I think if you're saying back to back. And we're both facing out. I'm thinking right now, I see us standing together. I see you looking out, and I see you chasing something that you want. And it's something that you want that I've agreed to support you in. So it's not just like anything. It's like, this year I really want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand your vision. I understand where you're looking, where you're coming from, what you want. And I am kind of standing up against you, supporting you, almost, like a picture frame or a tripod, like a kickstand,
where it's like one of those team builders where you gotta like lean against like one another. Yeah.
But more so that like I'm giving you the strength of my back so that as you are trying to do something, I can support the other areas that maybe need to be taken care of so that you can face outward.
Gee, I didn't picture that at all. I mean, I agree with you half on that. I was thinking that at the same time, you are also, you know, it's like mutual, where there's something I'm paying attention to, and then there's something you are equally paying attention to.
Well, I would say that too, but like when I'm, I guess, yeah, you're right. I agree that too, because I have my own dreams or goals or plans, mm-hmm. and they're not without your permission and without your help. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when I say permission, I don't want you to think that he has control over what I want, but it's more like this understanding of, okay, I am also now pursuing X. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, I will need your support behind me so that I can also do that. Mm-hmm. But it's not always simultaneous. It's always like one leans on one and one leans on the other. So it's like a back and a forth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think realistically there needs to be that agreement between the two if it's going to, otherwise you can't just go off completely in your own directions.
Well, right, because then I picture like a duel almost where you're just like, you're back to back and then you're out.
You're paced away.
Right, and you're getting further apart. So mm-hmm. this one's almost like, and for those of you watching on YouTube, you're watching my hands, but it's kind of like this stick that can bend so that you can like lean, but you're still together, that you're not completely walking away from one another.
Yeah. And I would think that would be one of the pitfalls with that is one, like you can turn away from one another and what is going on and what you're separately interested in becomes the sole focus. I think that's one of the pitfalls. And you mentioned like agreement and permission. And I think those things are important because you really can just go off and do whatever you want. And I can just go off and do whatever I want. But practically speaking, that's not going to make for a great relationship. So correct. There's a role that plays. There are things that you're just going to do or are interested in that I won't be a part of. And same with me for my end.
And that's a part of a healthy relationship.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Is to have separate interests and separate aspirations. But that doesn't come without the support of one another or like the blessing to go ahead and do it so that our values remain aligned and our core stays intact.
So I think the back-to-back supporting one another is important, but I also think of, like, at some point you want to, like, turn around, and this is what reinforces face-to-face, too, is when you've experienced something separately, and then at the time that you are able to come together and focus on one another, you could bring that experience to the other person, and you can share that with them, you can hear from them, and then enjoy talking about and just digesting that experience by talking to the other person about it.
But I think that then also kind of brings, you've come back to the relationship with something that I have not experienced or something that I don't understand. And then when you share it with me, hopefully like there's this excitement, right? Or there's like an understanding, and it's a way for us to then consider something that would, that would help drive me forward or help drive us forward. Or like there's more so that we don't run out of things to say.
Yeah.
And we don't run out of things to share, that it becomes, it brings a wealth of like knowledge and experience back to the relationship for our benefit. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have one last question on my list. And I know we're kind of getting close here. So how can we keep perfect pace with our partners or spouse? So if we are side by side, how do we get to a point where one of us isn't running ahead and dragging the other, or one of us isn't pulling the other one back? Like, how do we do it in a good, healthy way?
All right. So here's my answer to this question is that the point of all of these different kinds of interactions is the relationship.
Okay.
And so if you're doing something where that something, that activity or that
interest, goal, that aspiration, interest,
whatever it is, supersedes the relationship, then I think it becomes unhealthy and needs to stop.
Okay. Back to the Godfather quote.
That's right.
Everything you should do should be like, right. Kind of comes back to the relationship. So if you are now engaging in something that has you well in front of or well behind your spouse or your relationship, then you're doing the wrong thing.
Right. The point is the relationship.
To be aligned.
So I think that's one thing to keep center, because you can begin working on something together. Like I would say, like family, for example. It's you get married and you begin having children. You facilitate this beautiful thing called family, but it is work and it is an investment. And sometimes the day-to-day management of that, it takes its toll, and we lose sight of the reason and the people behind what all of that work is for. That's just one example, but I think that happens in any other domain as well, where the action, the work, the activity suddenly takes on more importance than the relationships of the people that we even engage with
that we're doing it for.
Right.
Okay. Big questions.
Yeah. I think this is a good chance for us, especially as we're wrapping up season one, we've talked about our relationship and we've talked about so many things in life. I think it's a good point for us to kind of reflect on these different questions that we've had, the ways we've challenged one another, the topics like face-to-face and side-by-side that help us, I think, be more conscientious and intentional with how we're going about life, and try to apply as much of it as possible for the kind of life that we're pursuing.
Okay.
So what takeaways do you have from today's conversation?
Okay, number one, go ahead and stare at each other and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Take the time to be alone together, to gaze, to hold hands, to be romantic, but also take the time to be vulnerable, take the time, and I'm not going to say to be confrontational, but to ask the hard questions.
Mm-hmm.
That when we are face to face, we don't have to not challenge each other or shy back and not...
Maybe haggle over something, hash some things out.
Yeah, I think that's important, because we can brush those things under the rug for a long time, causing more problems.
Mm-hmm.
So there's obviously a healthy way to do that. So we advocate for communicating face to face, but also enjoying that time together. The second would be to intentionally make time in your life and in all of your relationships for those side-by-side moments, because you can breed love and trust and patience and understanding and like-mindedness and grow together in fun and new ways. Because it's not always going to be the romantic or the confrontational ways that you're going to grow. And then the third thing is to unite your vision. Two people need to travel in the same direction. And I think if you're looking at The Relentless Pursuit, right? The title of our podcast, the whole purpose of this is that we need to be in alignment and in agreement where we're headed is. And so we will do that side by side, but we need to be in agreement on how to get there.
Mm-hmm. So I like the little last word in our tagline, relentlessly pursuing a life worth living
together. So have specific goals in place that will guide your vision and keep you guys in check.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we did a challenge last week.
Okay.
But I thought maybe we could do one more challenge.
Okay.
So we can do this, obviously, and you guys at home can do this as well. But why don't you take some time to assess how you're spending time with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Is it face-to-face? Is it side-by-side? So if you feel like you're needing more of one, schedule some time in this next week for a face-to-face with your partner if you haven't had that opportunity yet.
And don't make it awkward. Don't say, honey, we need some face-to-face.
Yeah, you might scare the other person. But, you know, maybe you need a romantic date night out, or maybe you need a coffee date where you start talking about, let's talk about some of our dreams and goals.
Mm-hmm.
Like what's next for the blank family?
Let's get real.
What do we want? Yeah. What do we want to aspire to? Who do we want to become more like? How can we do life better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe it's, you know, that kind of conversation. If you're always doing these romantic date nights and, you know, or you're always hashing things out, right? There are couples that are just intense and they're always talking about like these deep
conversations. Yeah.
Go have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Go to the zoo without the kids, just together to look around.
Mm-hmm.
Go on a hike, go on a bike ride. We're limited now with where we can go and what we can do, but be inventive and have some fun.
Make an experience for yourselves that you'll remember and laugh about, and hopefully it'll make a memory that you can cherish.
Yeah. And then tell us about it. Comment on our website, send us something on social media, do a little video and tag us in it, but be a part of our community. Be a part of what we're doing. We're sharing what we're doing with you. Share with us, because we want to know what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
So what do you think? The end of season one is officially upon us.
That wraps up episode 12. Thank you guys so much for listening throughout the season, and we hope that you've found some good insights and inspirations along the way. We're very excited in the weeks ahead of preparing everything for the next upcoming season with more tips, recommendations, stories, inspirations, challenges, and they'll be headed your way. So thanks for listening to the Relentless Pursuit podcast, and we'll be speaking with you again.